pints of Guinness and 9 light shots of whiskey.
Do you like Guinness beer?
I have to say that it's a little too thick for me. I like my beer a little bit lighter, but I know now there's other Guinness options.
I tried the Guinness Blonde. It is so good.
That's what everybody's saying.
My husband, the old McInerney, drinks a Guinness, not just on St. Patrick's Day, but Guinness beer. You and I were talking about this because our goal was to have only people who have achieved a Guinness Book of World Record to be on our show.
That's right.
We're trying to make that better and happening all the time.
Right.
So we started talking about Guinness beer, and I have to be honest with you, I didn't see the connection between the Guinness Book of World Records and Guinness beer, but there is, and there's a guy we're talking to right now who's been called the walking encyclopedia for his ability to remember facts and trivia. His name is Dave Farrow, and I already forgot your name. What is your name again, Mr. Farrow?
I love that. Hey, thanks for having me on. I got to tell you guys about some amazing studies where scientists are getting mice drunk and studying their memories. This is what we're talking about today, is beer and memory.
Dave, are they getting these mice drunk and having their way with them?
Oh,
because
Bill,
that would really be wrong.
You went a little farther than I was going to go there.
Good.
You really did.
Good.
All right, so how this all started was, look, I am in the Guinness Book of World Records for memory. The Guinness book was actually created by Guinness Beer, if people want a little bit of trivia from the Walking Encyclopedia. That's how it started. These little Guinness records, as we call them now, started off as one-off things that were written on bottles to kind of get conversation started at the bar. And then eventually, it's kind of like, you know, like how they write something inside a Snapple cap.
Snapple stole like from Guinness, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
They totally ripped it off, yeah. But here's the thing. After a while, there were so many of these, people started getting into fights in bars because they wanted to, you know, argue over who was the fastest or smartest or whatever. And so Guinness published a small book just to stop everyone from arguing. And it turns out the sales in this thing took off, because it was, you know, the first real time that somebody actually put all of the obscure, strange, weird records in one place, not just Olympic or sports or something, but all of them in one spot, so you could settle arguments. So all the bars started buying them. It became the Guinness Book of Records. It's actually one of the best-selling books in history.
That is a nice little tale.
And how long has this been going on for, Dave, did you say? How many years we've had the Guinness Book of World Records?
Oh, my. Well, I do know that the Guinness Brewery, there's a bit of trivia with the Guinness Brewery that they have a lease that's a 99-year lease.
Yeah.
So they really think long-term. But I believe the Guinness Book of Records, I don't know the exact date, but I believe it came about in the 70s, but they split off and became two different companies. It was actually bought by Ripley's, believe it or not, the people who did it. Believe it or not, it was bought by them.
Huh. That makes sense.
Here's the thing, though. Since I got in the Guinness Book of Records for memory, I thought, hey, you know, I kind of have an affinity for these people. I never really drank the beer beforehand, but now that I got in the Guinness Book of Records,
sure,
I thought, okay, I'll try the beer. I started to like it, and people thought, well, is that the secret to your Guinness record memory, is Guinness beer? So I started to look into it, and there's actually a bunch of evidence, a bunch of really cool scientists that have been studying alcohol and memory. Now, this actually started with some very, you know, real smart science that has to do with neuroreceptors. There's something called NR1 subunits. It's inside the hippocampus. It has to do with how your brain stores memories. So essentially, this neuroreceptor can be triggered by alcohol, and that's where people started doing this. So what the scientists did is they took the mice, and they fed them a diet that would be the human equivalent of about 2 beers a day. So your blood.
Who isn't on that diet? I'm sorry, but who is not on that diet right now?
Well, every day at work, I'm on that diet.
Sure.
I'll for whiskey sometimes.
No, but Dave, when you say the human equivalent of 2 beers a day for a mouse, that is, it's about an ounce, maybe
a drop.
A drop. That can't be that much beer, can it?
Yeah, well, but you can test by blood alcohol level. So it's a 2.5% blood alcohol level.
Oh, okay.
is what we're talking about. So well below the level of, you know, drunk driving or you know, legal limit and things like that. It's just you might, you might start to feel it. Maybe you'll just notice that you feel a little bit more relaxed, but it's not to the point of feeling a buzz. So that's sort of feeling. And the interesting thing is these mice actually performed better on a bunch of cognitive tests.
Wow.
Like memory tests where they were supposed to, recognize things, so you'll show pictures and you'll have like the cheese behind one picture and then see if they remember which one it is later because that they get the reward if they remember that sort of thing. But here's the interesting thing. They also tried to go, to the extreme. They got the mice drunk, and I just picture the conversation they were having, in the middle of these universities going, let's get them drunk,
right?
And they're just, they got nothing better to do on a Saturday afternoon, I guess. But as it turns out, they got them almost to the point of a toxicity level, and their cognitive function went way down. So alcohol helps with your memory in two ways, people. It can help you in moderate amounts to have a better memory, and it also helps you forget if you really need to forget things. And that's
so the good news is you'll forget the guy you were with if you're a girl, but
right.
You will remember his name.
Oh, all right.
Actually, there's really one funny thing about that. The one type of memory that improved with getting these rats drunk was what we call emotional memory, memory that has to do with danger and like, if you're going to get if you're going to step on a pad and get shocked, this is what the mice, they do to mice to show danger, just a mild shock. But so essentially, you won't remember the person's name, but you'll remember that you hate his guts.
Wow, that's a plus.
We're talking to Dave Farrow. He created the Farrow method. You could visit his website at pushbuttonmemory.com. Your Farrow method has been used for people suffering from dyslexia, ADHD. I have a couple of ADHD kids, and it's tough to remember things sometimes. We're going to take a quick break, and then can you help us try and find a way to help us remember someone's name? Because seriously, that is my biggest problem in life.
Absolutely. That technique is actually very easy to learn, and we'll touch on it when we get back.
Perfect. He's Dave Farrow, and we are Bill and Wendy. You can call us at 312-981-7200. It's 720 WGN.
Dave Farrow is here. He is the creator of the Farrow method, a surefire way to help improve your memory. His website is pushbuttonmemory.com. Dave, we're getting a lot of texts from mice who want to know how they can sign up for that program where they drink all day.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait for the human trials.
I just want to say responsibly, don't drink and squeak to all those mice, please. Dave, Wendy brought up a very good point. We all want to have a better memory, so there are keys to do this. Obviously, you're the best in the world at it. Help us through it. What are these keys?
Absolutely. Well, one of the first things she was talking about remembering people's names. One of the first things is to actually pay attention to the name. This is the simplest thing you can do, but it does take training. There's a bunch of studies on this, but basically we are all egomaniacs at heart, all of us. So no one's immune from this. And when we meet somebody, we are actually thinking about what we're going to say and how we look and, that sort of thing so much that we tend to miss the name the instant it's said. As you meet somebody, you shake their hand, they say their name's Mike. While they're saying it, you think to yourself, oh, man, well, what am I going to say next? Or that shirt looks like a shirt that I have or something like that.
Dave, you are 100% correct, because the whole thing is I don't listen when they say their name. I really don't.
Absolutely. Well, here's a little trick that I want you to do. Do this for about a week. So 7 days, it's a little bit of a mental, we call this awareness techniques. And if you've ever heard of awareness techniques, it's like, it basically means, it's like you'll say a mantra every day or you'll, pay attention to something every day, to kind of change your focus. Well, this is a really neat one where you simply look around your office or as you walk to work or anything like that. And anytime you see a person in the back of your mind, tell yourself, gee, I wonder what their name is. And that's all you say. And then you move on to the next face and you go, yeah, I wonder what their name is. And what that does is by asking the question again and again, it makes your brain focus on that. And it actually makes you incredibly curious so that when that random person does come up out of the blue, they go to shake your hand. Your first instinct is, oh, I wonder what their name is. And then they say their name and you're much more likely to remember it. That one little exercise will make a world of difference to a lot of people.
That really makes sense, because a lot of times if we run into a listener on the street or something and, oh, listen to the show, love you guys, I'm like, oh, what's your name? And as they're saying it, you're absolutely right. I'm thinking, okay, where do I go next with this? And
how can I get some money out of them?
No, I don't think
sometimes
that.
You do. Yes, you do.
I don't. That's
all
you.
Right. All right.
But so just start the little mantra, I wonder what their name is, and just keep saying that so then when I meet someone, I will be wondering what their name is.
Yeah, and it's just, the funny thing is there are some people who do this naturally. They automatically think everybody else is a jerk because they don't do it. And I will say, you know, battle of the sexes time, you know, women are much more likely to do this than men for whatever reason, but anybody can train themselves to do this. Just ask yourself that question, you know, maybe like 10 times a day when you see people, even if you know what their name is, even if you're looking at your spouse and you go, yeah, I wonder what their name is, in the back of your head, it just builds up that curiosity. I know it sounds,
but don't say it out loud.
No, that ruins it.
Don't say it out loud or people will think you're kind of crazy. Now, the next thing you can do is actually try to visualize a name. So I have a trick for my name. You have to kind of practice a lot to get good with any name because there's a lot of different names out there. But essentially, if you hear someone's name, you know, like Wendy, for example, if you can visualize it, you're much more likely to remember it. So, you know, if I were to meet you in person and I didn't know you ahead of time, if I thought of Wendy's hamburgers, which I'm sure you absolutely hate because you probably heard that before, but that gives it a context. That gives my brain a physical object that has, you know, weight, size, depth, height, you know, dimensions to it that means something, and your brain can visualize that. You can't visualize a Wendy or a Dave or a Bill or a Mike, but you can visualize an object.
All right, because I've heard to kind of think who that person looks like. That will help you remember their name, but it backfired on me because I have a friend named Jim, which is my husband's name, so I should know this guy's name is Jim, but he looks like Tom Arnold, so I call him Tom all the time, even though I've known him for years.
Yeah. That actually is a backfiring technique. It doesn't work. Don't do that.
Well, that's his fault for looking like Tom Arnold, isn't it, Dave?
He's
being inconsiderate. You think he likes to look like Tom Arnold?
He's being inconsiderate.
I totally didn't even think of it that way. You're absolutely right. So I'll give you an example for my name. I go on stages all the time. You know, I speak at colleges, for example. Just minor plug there.
Go to pushbuttonmemory.com. I'll finish your plug, and you can find out where he's going to be.
Sure. So my last name is Pharaoh, and I actually put on an Egyptian Pharaoh hat to get people to remember my name. So once I put on that hat, people don't just remember it for an hour. Like, I come back the following year, and they still remember my name. Obviously, I'm not Egyptian, but it's just a little object that reminds them of my name, Pharaoh. And, of course, you can go to Push Button Memory to find out more.
Okay, but so they remember your last name, which I guess is more important in the world than a first name. But, you know, if you're building a relationship with someone, I'm not going to, every time I see you, go, hey, Mr. Pharaoh, hey, Pharaoh, what's up?
Well, no, of course not. I mean, normally first names are actually easier to do this with. So when you start to get into the habit of visualizing people's names, it's just like the asking yourself the question thing. It's going to feel weird at first, but then when you get into the habit of it, it becomes second nature. So if you meet somebody named Mike, you'll think of a microphone, and you picture them, you know, speaking into a microphone. Next time you see them, that image, as crazy and silly as it is, will actually pop into your head. There's actually the main part of my system uses a survival mechanism. There's a natural mechanism in the brain that allows you to memorize things without repetition. All of you guys have used it before. It's not super mysterious or anything. But usually you only use it when something crazy happens, like you witness a car accident or, you know, you see a birthday party or something, you know, something really, really surprising, like a YouTube video that's really viral. Something sticks in your mind. That's using that mechanism that does not need repetition. All we're doing is kind of using a little creativity, kind of visualizing some things in our heads to kind of wake up our brain and trick our brain into doing it.
Dave, this question isn't fair to ask you because we only have a minute, but I'm curious. The reason you're in the Guinness Book of World Records is at some point you were able to memorize the exact order of 59 decks of cards. For people who can't do the math in their head, that's roughly 1,500 cards. That's over 1,500 cards. How in the world can you do something like that?
Well, it's actually over 3,000 cards.
Is it really? Yeah.
Yes. But who's counting, really, aside from the Guinness Book of Records? But that was supposed to be a joke. But anyway,
we got it.
I will say the best way to understand this is to think of how your brain reacts to a movie. So essentially, I have a code and a system that turns these playing cards into this sort of running movie in my head. I'm kind of painting a picture in my mind as I go through the cards, okay? A lot of people, you know, understand that because we, you know, we played games with kids. We understand that. And of course, this is probably a lot more advanced, but it's the same sort of principle. I'm kind of turning it into a movie. If you think of a movie that you love, mm-hmm. you could watch another movie and that's not going to knock the last movie out of your head. There is no limit when you have something creative in your mind. And that's how we can achieve, you know, a memorization of thousands of bits of information instead of just, you know, 10, 20 in a row, is because we make it creative. And once it makes it something creative, creative and fun and interesting to your brain, you actually don't have any limit. The limit is in your short-term memory when you're trying to memorize by repetition. Once you get into this long-term memory, the sort of memory-triggering technique that I use, there is no actual limit to the amount you can memorize. We've done this with languages. I've memorized 1,400 words of Cantonese in a weekend one time.
Wow. Oh,
I've
my
done
God.
This with well, we did this with medical students, you know, memorizing every single bit of their anatomy work. You know, thousands of thousands, well, hundreds and actually well over 1,000 different bits of Latin and Greek terminology. But the point is, we take it one at a time. We'll turn it into something like a silly picture, and obviously I'm oversimplifying it.
Right.
But, you know, we use the system to kind of make those links. The brain wakes up and pays attention to that, and then we move on to the next one. And before you know it, you have this catalog of funny pictures, of weird pictures in your head, and you remember it just as well as you remember my last name. If you wear that, there you go. See, it sticks.
How come we can remember things we don't need to really know? Because we, you know, especially you, Bill, just this trivial minutia that is rumbling around in our brains, we never forget that, but important things we do.
Absolutely. You know, your brain has different rules for memory than you do. You think a phone number is really important. You think a fact or a figure is really important. But your brain thinks that anything survival related is important. And it actually has a type of a tuning, if you will. Some people remember some types of facts different than another. This is actually a theory I developed called memory modes. So we were able to show, for example, that sports fanatics remember all sorts of things that are physical, even physical comedy, like a Three Stooges or something, but they won't remember location information, like where they parked their car or number information, that sort of thing, unless it relates to, you know, a jersey number or a statistic or something that relates to that physical thing. Your brain fine-tunes into what you find most fascinating. And essentially, you know, I'm here to fill in the rest. If you want to study something, if you want to, you know, learn how to play the guitar or learn a language or go back to school and study, chances are you're going to have to memorize information that you don't like, and that's where the technique comes in. It kind of, you know, tricks your brain into liking it.
Do you have a book out? Because I know it's the Faro Method, and I know we can go to pushbuttonmemory.com. Do you have a book?
Yeah, I mean, you can search my name over on Amazon, but I have a really good deal for your listeners on pushbuttonmemory.com. I strongly suggest you don't just take tips on this or just look at YouTube videos. There really is an advanced system, and my push button memory system, it's actually a 10-hour course. So I'm not doing an infomercial or anything, but I just really have to stress, if you want to do this well, you have to practice. You don't want to go up to someone named Mona and call her Lisa because you used the Mona Lisa as an image in your brain and you didn't practice this technique enough. You know, you do have to, like, you know, go through the lessons and go through it, but it's pretty simple. The way I explained it, you know, if you enjoyed this interview, you'll enjoy the program. It's just it's something you can learn in maybe a week or two, but it's not a couple of minutes. Just learn the
right. You have to invest time. Your brain is a muscle. You need to work at it. You need to work it out. Pushbuttonmemory.com, and Dave Faro is his name. Is there a certain discount code you mentioned, a special for our listeners?
We've got the special up right now. They'll see the discount. I'm all ready for you guys. I love you guys.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Dave.
Hey, thank you very much, and have a drink on me.
Oh, we will.
Done. Thanks, Dave.
Go to pushbuttonmemory.com. I'm completely intrigued by this.
Yeah, how about that? All right, a quick break, some news from Ryan Burrow, and then more show coming your way next, Bill and Wendy, WGN.